The Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA News Radio, the voice of Colorado.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. There we go to a Monday edition of the show. We are, well, we got a lot of stuff on the blog today. We have a phenomenal, and I mean phenomenal, group of topics. We've got Shannon Scott with us today. Grant is taking a little time off, and he went skiing, which is good for him, unless he dies, in which case I'm going to be super mad because I gave him a lecture on Friday right at the end of the show, and he better have listened.
And I gave him the word of the day, shushing, so he should be shushing.
Exactly. He's a shusher, too. He's a skier, not a snowboarder.
Yes.
Dave, of course, at the parting of the Red Sea, he's doing his Moses impression in honor of Passover. Of course, Moses leading the Jews out of Israel, or out of Egypt.
I got my background from the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston.
Yep. Very, very, very nice. I hope all of our Jewish friends and listeners enjoyed your Passover over the weekend. And to all my Christian friends, if you ever get invited to a Seder, a Passover Seder, do it. It's fascinating. It's so interesting. And the food's terrible. Like the ceremonial food is terrible.
But it's symbolic. Awesome. It's not meant to taste good.
No, and it doesn't. So it lives up to its reputation.
No, it doesn't.
But the actual food that you get after the ceremonial food is delicious. Anyway, I have a huge show on deck today, and I just realized I forgot to send a Zoom link to my friend Karen Murray. She's coming on today. I'll tell you why. Shannon, do you have any idea where our blog music is? Do you have anything that says KOA blog opening? Is there anything right there? Because, you know, Shannon just got whipped into here today due to a cascading series of events. So if things don't sound exactly like they do normally, it's only because Shannon, you know what, though? This is typical for radio. Shannon, a trained professional who has been in this building for, I think they built the building around you, did they not? It was just a dirt hut, and then they built it around you, the building. So why train Shannon on how to do this show? Because they're like, Shannon can do everything.
I'm ready.
He's the man. Yeah, do you found it? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I was vamping long enough. Now, here's what I say. I say, go to KOANewsRadio.com, look for anything that says Mandy Connell or on air, and then look for the headline that says Mandy's Monday Blog, Firearm Training for Women and More. If you click on... that's good enough.
I suck.
Today on the blog, ladies, I've got a gun safety class for you. So how have things gone since Texas ended the mask mandate? Even Tay Anderson deserves due process. CMAS testing is scaled back, but still on. What happens when you defund the police? Ask Minneapolis. More information on the surge of migrant children the Biden administration created. The leaders of Black Lives Matter are pure Marxists, capitalizing on black deaths. Racism is moral now. Instead of hurting kittens, I'm using hurting bears from now on. I don't know who needs to hear this, but you don't need to buy that thing you don't need. No, you can't limit attendance in church. If you want to see the immersive Van Gogh exhibit, buy your tickets now. Hunter Biden is a train wreck, and the Secret Service seems to know it. The Suez Canal is open again. In the case of free speech versus trans pronouns, religion won. No one is sleeping well these days, and the AP style guide is being updated to give Democrats cover. Those are the headlines on the blog at KOANewsRadio.com on the Mandy Connell page. And then just wrap it up. So just because it goes on a loop, Shannon. Just bring it down. Just end. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Well done, Shannon. Well done. We have a lot of cool stuff on the blog. Dave, did you watch the Barenting video?
No, I didn't.
Oh. So a mama bear with more than one little cub, and I think every parent with more than one child has been here, right here. She's trying to get him across the road.
That's funny. I'm watching it right now.
Yeah. Some of them are like, hey, mom, I'll go with you across the road. Some of them are like, nope, I'm going back over there. And all these cars are lined up while this bear gets her bear cubs across the road, and the bear cubs are not cooperating. One of them's climbing a telephone pole. Typical. Just typical of children overall. So now, instead of herding kittens, I'm going to say herding bear cubs, because this looks even more exciting.
There is a traffic jam waiting for these bear cubs.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. I have a great Mel Robbins today. You guys know I love, love, love her. And today's is how to stop buying things you don't need. And I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who said, You know, for years, I've used retail therapy to make myself feel better. But now I'm buried in crap, and I don't know how to stop using retail therapy to make myself feel better. I said, well, first of all, get rid of your crap. Like, get rid of, if you're feeling buried in your own house, you've got too much crap. Watch a marathon of Hoarders episodes and be happy that there's not a pile of dead kittens under your couch like there is in Hoarders, right? And clean it up. And then stop and find something else that gives you joy. But more importantly, she kind of gets to the reason why people buy things that they don't need. And it's not like crazy. It's pretty rational. But it gives you insight.
I think most of the things we get, we don't need. I mean, really need.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when you look at people who are truly poor,
yes,
they survive with very little. It may not be a happy life. It may not be the life they want, but they survive. I mean, realistically, I don't need every kitchen gadget that I have in my kitchen. And I have ruthlessly gotten rid of the ones that I never use. I have gotten rid of all of those. So now I have strange kitchen appliances, but I use them with enough regularity to justify their existence. You know? Although I think I'm about to get rid of my garlic peeler, Dave. That's
tell
a
you,
big
my,
one for me.
My dad used, when I was a kid, he would sit me down and say, do you really need that you
yes.
just got?
Need
Ask yourself
want.
That question. Do you really yeah. just want it or do you need it? And unfortunately, I haven't followed his advice very well over the years. But he was right.
None of us do, Dave. None yep. of us do. Especially, I found that people who come from a place of scarcity in their childhood, to me, in my own personal experience, and I'm not a psychoanalyst, psychoanalyst here, but those are the people that tend to accumulate things more than people who did not grow up in a position of want. Because when you're young and you have nothing, having things is like having a security blanket. And also, you signal to yourself that you've made it. And that's perfectly fine. If you want to work your tail off and buy yourself a dream car or something like that, I get it. But when you're buried with stuff and you know you're just buying things that are not giving you any joy, that are not making you happy once that initial endorphin rush is over, that's when you have to recognize that you're not helping yourself by doing this stuff. And this Mel Robbins video is great. Coming up at 2:00, my friend Karen Murray is a firearms instructor. She's an NRA firearms instructor. I've had her on the show before. And coincidentally, before last week's shooting, I had booked her to come on the show this week because she has a concealed carry firearms class for women only. And guys, don't take it personally. She also teaches incredible concealed carry classes for both men and women. But I will tell you, as one who has sat through women only courses and mixed gender courses for firearm safety, women are afraid to ask questions when there are men in the room, especially if there's that one guy who's been shooting forever and knows everything if you ask him, and he's just having to take this course to satisfy the government, and he's annoying as hell. Sir, if that's you, you're annoying as hell. So if you have a female-only class, women are free to ask all of their dumb questions. And Karen is a phenomenal instructor for men or women. She is the best, 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 best. And if you are a female who bought a firearm and you haven't trained with it, please consider taking a class or this class. But if you are thinking about buying a firearm, go ahead and schedule your training. What scares me about the number of people who have bought weapons this past few years is that I don't think there's been a huge rise in people getting training. And you can be a gun owner or you can be a good gun owner. A good gun owner has proper training. In my view, I'm going to be very clear. Any idiot can buy firearms, but if you don't know how to use them safely, when to deploy them, when not to deploy them, you're not a good gun owner. You're not. You're part of the problem, and you're going to get shot with your own gun. You know, so please take some training classes. Karen's coming on it too. She'll talk about all the training classes they have at Franktown Firearms because they do a really nice job there. So, Dave, you know, I've been watching the Texas mask mandate. They dropped it March 10th. Remember, President Joe Biden said it was Neanderthal thinking to drop the yes. mask mandate. Yeah. So knowing what we know about coronavirus, Texas should be in the midst of a massive upswing, right? So ask me what's happening in Texas.
What's happening in Texas, Mandy?
Nothing. Cases still dropping. Hospitalization still dropping.
So virus going to do what virus wants to do, right?
Oh, yeah. Correct. Correct. As a matter of fact, I posted a link to this guy who is an epidemiologist? It's a Twitter thread that he did. And he's a radiologist and public health policy CEO at the Niavatara Foundation. And he's been checking around the country, Dave. Mississippi did the same with masks earlier this month. And they've been pretty bad throughout the pandemic. Their cases still dropping, hospitalizations dropping, deaths dropping. And then he said, hey, how about Florida? Remember Florida, everybody was going to die because Ron DeSantis was the devil and it was going to be horrible. Well, since January, when their cases peaked, the mask mandate was dumped early and cases are still declining. Cases are falling. Deaths are falling in Florida. So weird.
It's so funny because in my Zoom meeting on Sunday, a couple people on the East Coast, New York, live there, and they are so still frightened about this whole thing.
New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut are seeing cases go up right now.
Yeah, and they don't know what to do. They are frightened. Even though they've been, all of them have been vaccinated, they're still afraid to go anywhere unless people they go to see are also vaccinated.
I got to tell you, I think that masks don't make that much of a difference. Maybe a minuscule amount of difference, maybe a teeny tiny, like 1% of difference. And
like
frankly,
someone sneezes in your face or coughs in your face.
Sure. But if you're a decent human being, you're going to take that elsewhere anyway. You're not walking around in a normal situation, sneezing and coughing in people's faces, unless you're a horrible person. Like, you don't do that. That's just bad. It's just bad form to do that, right? So I'm ready to end the mask mandate in Colorado. I'm ready to allow businesses to make that decision about whether or not they want to require masks in their businesses, which I think they should have the freedom to do. And here's the thing, you guys. If we finally get out of this statewide mask mandate and your favorite business decides to ask you to wear a mask in their business, don't be a jerk about it. Don't be a jerk. That's what a free society really looks like. We're not living in a free society right now because I can't decide whether or not I want to wear a mask or not. I don't have that option. Business owners don't have the option of saying to people, you don't have to wear a mask in here if you don't want to. But when they do have that option, if they choose to continue the mask mandate, please don't be a jerk to their employees. Just shop somewhere else if it's that important to you. That's my big fear. Because they're already seeing it in other states that have done away with mask mandates is that we get stores that are like, look, or restaurants say, hey, we have, we want you to continue wearing masks. We'd really appreciate it. And people are losing their minds. That's what a free society looks like. A business can make a decision what's right for them. You can make a decision what's right for you. A free society doesn't mean you get to do whatever you want all the time. It's just stupid.
And if you don't want to wear the mask, don't go into that business that requires it.
Exactly. Find another
place. Go to another business.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, and by the way, I have nothing wrong with people saying, hey, respectfully, could you let the owner of the store know that I'm not coming in here anymore because I don't want to wear a mask? Respectfully, I just want to give you my input. Let him know. Give him feedback. But don't be a jerk about it. Don't be a horrible person about it. I'm tired of horrible people. I think we're all at our wit's end right now. And people are nasty.
It's a combination of being horrible and being stupid.
Yeah.
If a government mandate is removed, that doesn't mean you're free to do anything you want, anywhere you want.
Right.
Just use common sense and be nice.
Exactly. Exactly. Somebody posted on Twitter that said something to the effect, should private businesses have the right to demand you get vaccinated before coming into their business, using their product, whatever? I say yes. And as a consumer, I have the right to say, I'm not going to provide you that information. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to participate. I'll be perfectly honest, you guys. One of the big reasons I'm getting the vaccine is that I want to travel. And I think it is going to be infinitely easier for me to get into another country and get out of another country if I have this vaccine. That's a choice I'm making. I think if I got coronavirus, I think I would do perfectly fine. I don't think it would be a big deal for me. But if having that vaccine is going to make it easier for me to travel internationally this summer and this fall, I'm freaking doing it. I'm tired of not going anywhere.
And having that card, that magical card with you at all times.
I have a real issue with the vaccine passport overall. Like if government mandated, I would be furious. Furious.
And there are a lot of counterfeit cards going around. You read these stories you really don't even know if it's legitimate or not. So,
yeah, no, I'm with you on that.
It just brings you back to, I hate to say it, Germany, your papers, please. You know, I feel uncomfortable with that.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you for that at all, Dave, because in all honesty, it's like, what exactly are we supposed to give up? And there's a difference between, let me rephrase this whole thing. There's a difference between having the government demand that you carry around your papers all the time.
Right.
And a private business. And I'm going to use this as an example. One of the cruise lines is running fully vaccinated cruise ships. Everyone on the cruise ship has been vaccinated. All of the passengers are required to prove proof of vaccination before they can book a cruise on this fully vaccinated cruise ship. That's a choice that you can make. If you want to take that cruise, you want that sense of safety, you can do that. By the way, the cruise is only out of Israel so far, but I would expect there will be other cruises like that as the cruise industry tries to recover from the devastation of the past year. And I think that cruise, if it works out of Israel, they're going to offer it in the States. The demographics for cruises, you guys, are older people. The key demographics for cruises. The big money is coming from older people. And I would not be surprised if cruise ships said, look, you know what? If you don't have a vaccine and you can't prove it, we're just not going to let you book. I think that there are going to be businesses and industries that say that. That's quite different
than the government
saying. And
it makes total sense for them. It makes total sense for them to do it. All they need is the publicity of one of those people getting the virus. And that story gets out, their cruise line is dead in the water, no pun intended.
Well, exactly. I mean, we saw what happened at the beginning of the pandemic where those people got stuck on that ship for like 3 months. I mean,
I think that's a reasonable request.
Right. And we just have to be careful in how we react to it. One of the things I want to talk about a little bit later in the show, coming up at 1 o'clock, I forgot to put my friend Teresa's stuff on the blog. I'm going to fix that. We're going to talk about travel specifically because there's more travel happening. There are certain countries that are open right now to Americans that are very easy to get in and out of. You still have to have a negative COVID test coming back into the United States. But my friend Teresa has started this company based on points and mile travel. Have you ever heard of points and miles travel, Dave?
No.
It's basically using a credit card to rack up a lot of points and miles that then you can then cash in to travel. But there's a whole strategy and plan to it that is a little bit complicated. But once you understand it, you can travel the world for almost no money. And it's pretty amazing. So Teresa's coming on at 1 o'clock to talk about that. And then when we get back from this break, Tay Anderson, Denver school board member, petulant child, racist, I think, even though he is black. He's never met a microphone he didn't want to put his face in front of. He creates problems wherever he goes. And now he's been accused in a very dodgy way of sexual assault. And even though I literally cannot stand Tay Anderson and everything he stands for, I'm going to stick up for him next. Yeah.
So you ride yourselves over the fields and you make all your animals deals.
Rock band to ever think, hey, I know, let's add a flute. That'll be awesome. We are talking about Tay Anderson. So Shannon bumped back with a far superior Anderson. Tay Anderson is a Denver Public School Board member. He's 23, from what I can tell, unemployed. About to be a dad, that's always good, you know. And now, over the weekend, 5280 BLM released a message via Twitter that said that he had been accused by a woman who I'm guessing is black because they have Believe Black Women as one of their hashtags. So that gives us a clue. She is an African-American woman. She's accusing Tay of sexual assault of some sort. There are no details, including her name. And they are looking for an apology and restorative justice. They want him to make amends with, you know, it's gobbledygook and crap is what it is. But Saturday, the Denver Post had an article that quoted a woman who worked on a gun control organization with him and said, she said that several women had come forward to her expressing discomfort with Mr. Anderson, who was 19 years old at the time. In that he was on the board, he might have been the president of the organization. He was pressuring women to have sex with him. He was pressuring women who wanted to be a part of the organization to have sex with him in order to be part of this organization. It's not very flattering, but ultimately, until there are names attached, or let me rephrase that, until there is an opportunity for Tay Anderson to publicly face his accuser, I can't give it a whole lot of stock. I don't think there's enough there for me to fully and full-throatedly condemn him in a serious fashion. Yes, Dave. Mike's not on. My Dave has Dave has to switch his mics, and that's the problem.
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah. The concept of innocent until proven guilty has kind of taken a big backseat in our society or our culture in the last couple of years. And it's almost forgotten and laughed at in many cases. We need to reestablish that principle. And I think you're right. He's a good guy to do it on because he breaks that rule all the time.
Oh yeah.
He needs to see how it should be done.
Exactly.
And if he sees that, and if he is truly innocent and it's proven that he's not guilty, fine, maybe he'll change his rules and his the way he treats people.
I doubt it.
And others that do the same thing, perhaps they'll learn a lesson too.
No, he's already come out with a press conference yesterday painting himself as the victim. And you know what? He might be the victim, but he's played the victim card every opportunity that he has. From the time he made a disturbance in a hospital trying to get information about his mother, where he freaked out and the police had to be called because he was making such an ass out of himself, and he tried to make himself the victim there. Or that time when he decided to place himself in the middle of a homeless sweep and someone pushed him and he fell down and, oh, I'm such a victim. Everything about Tay Anderson is victimhood. It will be interesting if indeed he had victimized someone else. But at this point, again, due process is such a cornerstone of our society. And to Dave's point, it has been crapped all over in the last 5 years as people want to draw blood right away.
And it's more important than any individual.
Exactly.
So I don't care who is proven guilty or not guilty. As long as that principle is in power, we're going to do fine. But the whole cancel culture throws that in the garbage.
Yep, and it's unfortunate. And I'm like, to your point, Dave, I don't really think he's going to learn anything by us showing deference because we're the rational thinking adults. And to be clear, I cannot stand this guy. I think he's awful. I think he's an absolute embarrassment that he's on a school board. I think he's uneducated. I think he's a race hustler. I think he's probably going to end up, you know, never mind. I'm not even going to say that. I think he's awful. So I would love to see him off the Denver school board and become just kicked to the dustbin of history. But I don't want to see women victimized to make that happen. But ultimately, I also want to say this. Women cannot make anonymous accusations designed to damage someone's career or bring them down or hurt them and not be expected to have to come forward and put their name behind it and file a complaint and follow through. You don't get to have it both ways. You don't get to be judge, jury, and executioner of someone's life by accusing them of sexual assault and just letting it hang out there. You don't get to do that. And I know it's hard and I know it's difficult and I know you're going to put yourself in a very challenging situation, but the reason men get away with this crap is because women are afraid. And in this day and age, in the moment in time that we are in right this second, if you are a woman who has been sexually assaulted, now's the time to come forward. Period. You know, now's it. This is it. When everyone who has ever had an issue needs to come forward and be open about it. Because ultimately, if you do not put your name on this, it's another garbage accusation that allows Tay Anderson to move forward the narrative that he's the victim here. So if he victimized you or someone you know, you better gird your loins, ladies, and come forward. Because this accusations with nothing to back it up, that crap's got to stop. I know men, I know young men whose lives have been ruined by young girls, young women who have decided to wield this power irresponsibly. And frankly, I'm over it. I want every woman who has been sexually assaulted or harassed to have her day in court, to have her say, to get justice. But I also want to protect the men who have done nothing except anger the wrong woman. And there's too many of those out there. And the feminists can just pound sand if they want to come at me on this, because I have personal examples of people that I know. How heartbreaking is this? A friend's son was accused of doing something in high school that he had evidence that he did not do. The school didn't care. They decided he was a sexual predator, suspended him for a week. And you know what he said to his mom last week? He goes, "Why do I even bother having a future? Because in 20 or 30 years, they can come back and say all this again and I lose everything." And you know what? He's not wrong. So although I am in favor of helping women seek justice and get justice when they have had horrible things happen to them at the hands of other people, I am not in favor of blind accusations with absolutely nothing to back it up. And if it is true that women complained about Mr. Anderson, then surely there are other women that will come forward to back this person up. But until then, I would love to sit here and dance on the grave rhetorically of Tay Anderson. I cannot, because even though I find him repulsive and repugnant and so many other negative adjectives, he still deserves due process and will always deserve due process, as every man deserves due process, except Andrew Cuomo, total scumbag. He needs to go. I mean, come on. He killed a bunch of old people. He should already be gone for that. But if he's not going to be gone for that, let's at least get him for being creepy with women. Let's do it. We'll just do it now. All right, let me go to the phones because I believe, let me see here. I'm looking at that. Dave, let's go to Dave in Westminster on the phones real quick. Hey, Dave, you're on KOA. What's on your mind?
Mandy, what year did you come here from Florida?
Well, I didn't come here from Florida. I came here from Louisville first, I'm and sorry. That was, yes. I've been here almost 7 years, so 2013.
Okay, well, right around then, and it may have been before you got here, but the current mayor of Denver was a city councilman. And about the time that he got ready to be running for mayor, it was discovered that on his city councilman phone, which was paid for by the taxpayers of Denver, there were lots and lots and lots and lots of calls during working hours to cheap massage parlors, shall we say. And that was proven, and it came out on one of the local channels, where they dig through stuff. And he gave a very similar, not in crying though, but press conference where he talked about how sorry he was and didn't realize he was doing it on a city phone and blah, blah, blah. And then he was promptly elected mayor. So all this matters not in the world of politics in Denver. Because
yeah, but wait. Now, this is going to sound a weird way to defend the mayor, but it's my understanding that the mayor was accused of engaging ladies in a business transaction in order to secure certain favors, as we say. That's different than sexual assault. Okay, that's a different animal. So
I agree with it. But what this guy's doing now is very similar, and just like Bill Clinton, I mean, it's the same thing. Cuomo's going about it totally opposite, which is at least refreshing. But these guys go on and say, yeah, I got caught with my pants down, quote unquote, and or it looks like that, and I'm really sorry, and I'm
going to
cry.
See, that's not what Tay Anderson – no, that's not what Tay Anderson did yesterday. Tay Anderson said nothing he could recall or remember would be considered sexual assault. He has not, in his mind, sexually assaulted any of his past partners, and he unequivocally denied the entire thing. So he's not doing the apology tour, and I'm telling you, the reason Cuomo reacted differently, sexual assault is different than sexual impropriety. What Bill Clinton did with Monica Lewinsky was consensual. Gross, but consensual. And what Mayor Hancock did was consensual. From what I understand, there is a difference, especially now. We're years later. Hashtag Me Too has been a thing. And I think it's much different. I appreciate the phone call very, very much. But I think it's a much different situation. And we'll see. We'll see if the women are willing to come forward and put their names on the record and formally accuse Tay Anderson of assault. But again, I don't think that this rises to the level of being able to say with any sort of veracity that this guy is a scumbag. And you guys know, you've listened to this show long enough, I will call a scumbag when I see him. Whether it's the president, whether it's, you know, any, I don't care. I really don't care about that. So, I don't know. I appreciate what you're saying. I just don't think necessarily it's going to work. Also on the blog today, oh geez, we're almost out of time. And I got my friend Teresa Rocca is coming up next. If you've ever dreamed of flying to Turkey on $89, this girl is your girl. She has a new business after an interesting experience flying to Turkey that helps people figure out how to fly on the cheap. But we're going to talk about what countries are open. And just now on the Wall Street Journal, support for COVID vaccines in other nations is rising. China and Europe have already said, essentially, if you want to come here, you're going to have a vaccine. So we're going to talk a little bit all about all that stuff with Teresa when we get back. Let me tell you what else is on the blog very, very quickly. CMAS testing for this year is on, but it has been scaled back. I think this is a compromise that I can live with. I do not want teachers and schools held accountable or penalized based on these test results, but we have to know where the kids are before we can figure out what next year is going to look like in terms of playing makeup, right? What happens when you defund the police? Well, your place goes to hell in a handbasket. Just ask Minneapolis. Got a story on that. More information on the surge of migrant children that the Biden administration has created. According to an internal document with Border Patrol that was leaked, there could be as many as 53,000 children in custody. Let me put that in the proper terms. There could be 53,000 children in cages by September. And we all know what that means when you have kids in cages. You're a racist. Learn that from the Trump administration, Shannon. I paid attention for 4 years. I know what I'm talking about. More information. Oh, excuse me. The leader, a great article on the leaders of Black Lives Matter. They don't care about Black lives. They're Marxists. They just care about power. Hurting bears. Got that. D.C. has now won a lawsuit against, a church in D.C., has won a lawsuit. They can no longer limit church attendance in D.C. We already did that here. Dave, remind me to talk about the Van Gogh exhibit later. The immersive Van Gogh exhibit is coming here. It's super cool. I'm telling you about it because I already bought my tickets. It's almost sold out.
And you better get them quick because I was looking at the calendar and almost everything is sold out already.
Yep. So,
and they haven't even picked a venue yet.
They don't even know where it's going to be. And it's already sold out. So that's how cool it's going to be. Hunter Biden's story. He's an absolute train wreck. And the Secret Service got involved and no one knows why. That tanker in the Suez Canal is finally moved. Great, great, great story that we're going to talk about. The first case of transgender pronouns versus religious liberty has been decided and religion won. We will also talk about No One's Sleeping Well, and the AP style guide is being updated to cover for Democrats. It's disgusting what is happening in alleged journalism these days. But first, we're going to check in with Susan Witkin. Teresa Rocca joins me next, right here on KOA. What do you have for me, Susan?
The Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA News Radio, the voice of Colorado.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the second hour of the show. And I am pleased as punch to welcome back to the show Teresa Rocca. Teresa, I just realized I spelled your first name wrong on the blog. I forgot the H. And I made the E and A. I'll fix it in a minute. It's fine. I just can't spell it all. Teresa was on the show after she became a travel celebrity due to a story on CNN about her wanting to go to Turkey. Teresa is one of my favorite people because she has the travel bug like I have the travel bug.
And yes, I do.
You decided you want to go to Turkey in a pandemic, and nobody here was crazy enough to go with you. So you found a guy on the internet and went to Turkey with him who is, he's now become your business partner.
Yep, he sure has. I mean, yeah, he is. We are on the phone with each other 18 times a day. It's so funny the way the world, like, way things work out.
I'm a big believer that you people every day, opportunity knocks over and over and over us, and most of us walk away from the door. Let's be real. I mean, that's a big thing, is seizing an opportunity, and you guys have seized it to create a company called Vacation Pursuit. Tell me about Vacation Pursuit.
So Vacation Pursuit, essentially, we connect like-minded travelers who want to explore the world, but don't necessarily want to pay the crazy expensive prices that it costs to do so. So that's essentially what we do. We teach people, we call it travel hacking or travel rewards, but we teach people how to really maximize points and miles in the travel space to be able to take those big bucket list trips without having to spend big bucket list prices.
Now, you and I have had an ongoing conversation because I'm a Southwest Airlines credit card person. I just applied for a credit card that Teresa recommended because I love Southwest domestically. Like, they're my jam. They're my airline. They don't fly enough international for me. You went to Turkey in business class for how much?
$55.55. I think it was 5-5 across the board.
And then you stayed where in Turkey for how much?
I know, right? So, and you know what's cool about that card that you mentioned, Mandy, is that because you're a Southwest traveler like I, a
right.
flyer like I am, you can transfer all those points to Southwest directly. So a lot of people, and I know that's why I'm like, I think
my mouth just dropped right now. I'm like, what?
Yeah. So that's why when people are putting every single thing that they put everything on their Southwest card to earn those points.
Yeah.
That's great. We're glad that they're maximizing, you know, their spend to earn points, but using something like it's the Chase Sapphire preferred card, using that card, you can then transfer those points directly one-to-one to Southwest. So you're earning more points because of their multipliers than you would earn on Southwest. But then if you want to take a United flight, or you want to fly to Singapore or something like that, you can then use those points to transfer to United instead of Southwest. So that's why it's much more versatile than using a Southwest card.
Well, I kind of wanted to have you on today because travel, people are starting to think about it again. People are starting, now that we have the vaccine. I have a story that just came out in the Wall Street Journal that said, if you want to go to Europe or China this year, you better be able to demonstrate that you've had a vaccine. They're really getting serious about vaccine passports. That's one of the reasons I'm getting my vaccine, is it's going to make it easy for me to do what I want to do. But where are you seeing, where are the destinations that are either, quote, open to Americans? Because some countries are still closed, like fully closed. They don't want us there.
There's actually a lot of countries that are open, and a lot of them are smaller countries or not as well known, I should say. I mean, the Italy's and the France, yes, it's very difficult for us to travel there right now. But if you look at, we actually have on our website a guide that breaks down every single country that's currently open to U.S. citizens and what you need. So if you need a negative COVID test, if you have to be vaccinated, it actually tells you all the requirements by country. But I mean, it's just a matter of there are so many countries open.
Yeah.
It's just, it's the lesser, it's not, you know, I mean, Costa Rica's open.
Yeah.
You know,
as a matter of fact, it's going to be open to me because I will be arriving there in 19 days, but I'm not counting down or anything. It's fine.
Oh my gosh. I went in December.
I know, we were supposed to go
amazing.
Last year. Yeah.
It was amazing, even with COVID protocol. It was amazing.
That was going to be the other question that I was going to ask, because obviously if we're talking about international travel, the people that we're talking to, like me, have a pretty high risk tolerance. You know, someone who's super cautious for whatever reason, and that's not a judgment. Sure. It just is what it is. If you have that high risk tolerance, where can you go that you feel like is the least intrusive, maybe? Like where could people go that it doesn't feel like I would never go to Italy right now because everything is shut. It's, you know, they're so strict and it's so restrictive. Where are some of the places? Like, are there countries that are like, hey, come party here, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Mexico is definitely one of those right now. Costa Rica is one. You know, I'll tell you, with Costa Rica, and a lot of places are like Costa Rica right now, from my experience in the last year, is that you go, you have to wear your mask when you're out in public. You got to watch, a lot of places will require you to wash your hands before you walk into a grocery store or something like that. But outside of that, it feels pretty normal. We did all the things in Costa Rica that we would have been able to do at any other time. We just had to wear a mask and wash our hands while doing it.
Right.
So for me, you know, I mean, I don't love the mask and all of that. I get it, you know, but I understand why we wear it. For me, I can suck it up. I can do that. That was the same way it was in Turkey.
Right.
You just have to wear your mask while you're out in public places, but they're not super restrictive as they are in, you know, a lot of cities in the US.
Are you seeing really great deals? Because we're shopping for something in July. We're looking to go to a resort specifically in July, and their deals they're offering are ridiculous because they're trying to get people to travel again. Have you seen any incredible deals that you're like, I might have to jump on that one?
Yeah. So as far as like cash fares go, there are so many good deals to be had right now. It's just a matter of being flexible with your dates. Every week we post like the best deals that we saw from that week. And I mean, we've seen St. Thomas for $67.
What?
I know. I know. I mean, it's crazy. Like those are the flights that we tell you not to use your points on.
Yeah.
Pay the $67 and go for cash. Save your points for the business class to Istanbul.
It would definitely be worth like looking at the fares first to see what was cheap and then doing a little search to see about accommodations or what you can find. Resorts are all offering insane deals. What I like right now that I'm seeing is that a lot of resorts, especially in the Caribbean and Mexico, say if you test positive for COVID, we'll let you stay here for 2 weeks while you recover, you know?
Right.
So they're making it easy as long as you don't, you know, get killed at work for not coming back, but they make it easy for you to take advantage of this stuff and have some security that you're going to have a place to stay if something happens.
Yep, absolutely. And tons of countries are doing that. They're offering quarantine if you were to get COVID while you were in their country.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's tons of opportunities for that. And, you know, with those travel deals and stuff, here's a little travel tip that a lot of people don't know. If you book a flight that originates from the United States, you have 24 hours to cancel it. So if you see some crazy airfare, if you see $67 to St. Thomas in October and you're like, heck yeah, I want to go do that, then book your airfare, do the research about, can I find a place to stay? What are the COVID protocols? Do your research after you book that, because you do have 24 hours to cancel that flight for a full refund.
Oh my God, I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. What?
Yep. It has to, as long as it originates from the United States.
Do you have, other than your website, vacationpursuit.com, which I put a link to on the blog today. So if people want to go check this out. You do a lot of social media. You are very active on Instagram and Facebook with little cool videos. And if you want to get kind of on almost like minute to minute flight updates, follow Teresa and Vacation Pursuit on Instagram, because you do a ton of stuff there. And so I always like flip through and I'm like, oh, 285 to there. Oh, 167 to there. So I get my little flight update. Where do you recommend people look for the cheapest flights? How do you do that? Do you go to the airlines directly or do you go to an aggregator site, or what's that all about?
So I have a few websites that I use for cheap cash fares, one of which is Skyscanner.
Okay.
And it's nice because it gives you like an explore option. Like you can put in, you know, Denver to anywhere, or I think it's everywhere or anywhere, but you put that in and it'll actually pull up. You can choose the dates, specific dates you want, or you can choose the like the cheapest month, and it'll actually break down for you. Like, hey, you can go fly to Peru, you can fly to Brazil, you can fly to wherever. It tells you those dates, what those prices are. And then once you see, so here's another little travel tip. Once you find a flight through a Skyscanner or an Expedia or any of those, the best thing you can do is go see if you can book with the airline directly.
Okay.
So just go and, you know, you find the cheap fares on those sites, but then you go directly to American Airlines or United or whoever it is, and you see if they're offering the same price, because you always have better protection and an insurance if you're booking through the airline directly.
Ah, that's good to know. That's very mm-hmm. good to know. I yeah. love the concept of everywhere, because when I was a flight attendant and we had just gotten our flight benefits, I was based in Los Angeles, we would go to the airport and talk to a gate agent and say what flights are wide open there and back for the next 2 days. And we would get exactly. on a plane. I went to Seoul, Korea and was on the ground for 12 hours and flew back because I was young and I didn't need sleep. And it seemed like a fun idea. And I don't regret it 1 minute. I would not do that now. It was brutal. Even at 21, it was brutal. It certainly would be brutal at 51. But I think that that's a really cool way to just say, where could we go? What are the possibilities? Now, Teresa, yep. I know this is not your department and I might curveball you here, but okay. have you heard about people trying now to get passports? Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I have heard a little bit about it. I've heard that it's really difficult right now. The timing of it, it's
yes.
just taking forever. Just like your driver's license and all of those things, I heard it's taking forever right now to get passports.
If you're in Highlands Ranch, good luck getting an appointment at the post office if you're trying to get a new passport. Apparently, there are no appointments in the Denver Metro until like May. So if you're thinking you're going to apply for a passport and go on a trip in June, you're really going to want to work on that passport first. Because we mailed ours in for renewal in December and just got them back. And that was just a renewal. That was not a redo, new, you know, that was just a, here's our old passport, send us new ones. And it took way longer than it used to. That used to be about a 6-week process and it ended up being about yeah. 3 months. We were getting a little panicky. Let me just
cutting
put it that
close
way.
For Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Next month.
And then of course then I'm mad at myself, you know, I'm like, oh, you should have done this a long time ago, but you know, these things happen, but I just wanted to throw that out there because people may think, oh gosh, yes, I've got the vaccine. I'm going to go. If you don't have a passport, that could really hold you up. So you probably want to go down that road first. Now you guys at Vacation Pursuit are having a masterclass tonight. Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah. So we don't do them terribly often, but on occasion we do master classes where we actually, so Vacation Pursuit, we'll walk you through, and actually we're 100% educational. We teach you how to maximize points and miles. A lot of people think like, oh, I'm going to get this one credit card and I'll just use it. And then, you know, I'll get some Southwest points or whatever, but there's totally a strategy to it that people don't understand. And that's how, I mean, I take probably 4 international trips a year. I yeah. fly in business class for maybe half of them. And I do it for, I mean, I always joke that it's like less than a trip to the grocery store for me to take that flight.
Definitely,
you know?
Less than a trip to Costco. Okay.
Yeah,
like that.
Oh yeah. I mean, I travel for less than one trip to Costco all
exactly.
year.
Exactly. So let me ask you this, when you're traveling on points and miles, is this something that's better for single people, or can you do it as a couple or a family?
Oh, it's even better as a couple, because it's actually like, we call it two-player mode. Uh-huh. And so that's like a whole nother concept that we teach as well, where we'll teach you and your spouse or whoever it is exactly how to fully maximize the two-player mode of points and travel. So, or points and miles. So, no, you can definitely do it. I do it as a single person, or if you have a spouse, absolutely. I mean, it works even better if you've got somebody playing the game with you.
All right. So that's good to know. So this yep. class tonight, what time is it? It's online, obviously. We're not doing an in-person class right now.
Yeah. So we're doing it at 6 p.m. and space is limited, but we do still have a few spots available. And I mean, right on our website, you can register. It's very easy. It's completely free. There's no charge to it. It's completely educational. And we'll do Q&A. We do a little presentation and then some Q&A. And I'm the one who actually
How long is this class going to take? Because I'm totally signing up. I just want to know.
Right. We have an hour blocked from 6 to 7. Usually the presentation part is about 20 minutes. So it's just a matter of how many questions we get after that.
Right.
That how long it goes.
Okay. That sounds good. Yeah. You can find out more at vacationpursuit.com. I put a link on the blog today. You can sign up there for the tonight's masterclass. I strongly urge you, if you have the travel bug, to follow Vacation Pursuit on Insta or Facebook, or where else are you guys? You're on TikTok, but that's, I'm not doing that, Teresa. I'm not doing it. I feel like as a 51-year-old woman, if I tried to open TikTok, the app would be like, I'm sorry, no. Just stop.
That's not true.
No, no one needs to see this.
That's
no.
where we post our most ridiculous videos, but I usually post them on Instagram too.
Right, right. So, Teresa, I love everything about this. I cannot wait to learn more because now I'm like Grasshopper. I'm at the feet of the master right now, ready to learn, because I will tell you, if there was an opportunity for me on a long weekend to grab another day and say, let's go to London for 2 days, and it cost me $85, I'm going to London. Why not?
I mean, that's what I do. I mean, I did that exact thing last February, right before COVID full blown hit. Right. I went to Paris for 4 days. I mean, I spent 2 days in Paris and flew home, and it was worth every little penny of that $80 that I spent to do so.
$80. I just don't think people realize what's out there and what's available. No. I think that, you know, for most people, traveling internationally is such an overwhelming, just everything about it seems overwhelming. Dave, are you ready to buy your ticket to Vienna on Points and Miles?
As soon as I get my passport ready.
There you go. You got to get your passport first. But yep. I mean, there's so many places I'd like to go, but I don't want to make a vacation out of it. I just want to see, like,
yeah,
an exploratory trip.
The thing is I actually agree with you. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, I'm not necessarily looking to go to Japan for the weekend.
Right.
But the thing is like, we can help you. Like, we have a lot of people, it's just their family of four and they just want to travel domestically. Mm-hmm. They just want to take their family to Disney World.
Yeah.
So we can help them so that they're not paying for those flights, because the Disney World, you know, park tickets are so expensive. Yeah. We can help you with your flights and hotels so that you're not putting that much out of pocket. And a lot of people hear the concept and they think like, oh my gosh, I could never do this, or it sounds too complicated.
Or I'm on standby. You know, or it's uncertain travel. That's not it. No.
Honestly, the Points and Miles flights that I've bought, they're not the basic economy flights. You know, if they're not business, they're still like main cabin, United uses main cabin. Yeah. So I actually end up feeling like I get treated better and I'm a higher priority when I'm booking with Points and Miles than I am when I'm booking with cash.
Vacationpursuit.com is the website. The masterclass on how to do all this tonight is on there. So if you want to sign up for the course tonight at 6 o'clock, Teresa, where are you going next? Where's the next trip planned?
I am going to Vegas in like 2 days, but and then I'm booked for Peru later in the year in Key West.
Oh, have you ever been to Key West?
I haven't.
Oh, it's fantastic. That's fantastic. It's a lot of fun. Now, what time of the year are you going to Key West?
I'm going the first weekend in May.
Oh, that'll be nice. I was going to say, if you're going to tell me July, it's like, girl, that's some hot down there.
I just told Josiah, I said, we should crash Mandy's listener trip and go to Costa Rica again.
You should. You absolutely should. Yay. We'll make that happen.
What dates are you guys going to?
We're going to April 17th. We're leaving at 5 in the morning or something. And we will be back on the 29th. So, no, 28th. I don't know the date. I'm not sure of the date. It's like 10 days, 10 or 11 days.
All right.
So
I'm going to have to connect with you off.
I will. We'll do that. My people, your people. And I'll see you tonight in your masterclass. Okay. Unless I have to pick my kid up from volleyball. We'll find all this out later. Teresa, thank you for your time today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
All right. That is Teresa Rocca with Vacation Pursuit. Find out more online at vacationpursuit.com. And outstanding. Does this appeal to you at all, Dave? Like, you know, finagling the system?
It's exciting and scary at the same time.
It feels a little dangerous, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, but it's not at all. Not even a little bit. Also not dangerous, Susan Witkin. She has our news, not in a dangerous fashion whatsoever, though. We are back. By the way, that website again, vacationpursuit.com. And you guys, anything you hear me talk about on the show, I guarantee you that there is a link on the blog to where you can get all the information that you need. I just signed up for the class tonight, so I will have, I'll be at the class tonight if you're going to be there. A lot of people sending messages like, how open is Hawaii? How open is Kauai? How open are all these things? You can go to Vacation Pursuit and find out more. They have a whole class where U.S. citizens can travel right now, a country by country guide. I will tell you that Hawaii has had some significant lockdowns and they do expect you to quarantine after you arrive on the island. Whether or not you do that, you know, I don't know how they're enforcing that. In any case, we also have many, many, many other things on the blog today, but I want to jump down to the bottom because there's a story on the bottom. This story really indicates how much the kind of legacy old school journalists are in the bag for the Democratic Party. Now, okay, I know what you're thinking. Mandy, how did you not know this? But sometimes they make it too easy to accuse them, and this is one of those times. The AP Style Guide, if you've never heard of that before, what just happened here? I just lost my story about this. The AP Style Guide, let me make sure that story stays here, is the kind of the Bible for journalists when it comes to words that are commonly used to describe something else. And the AP Style Guide is often updated, and it's never updated in favor of conservatives. For instance, a perfect example is when you say someone in the pro-life arena, you don't say, if you go to the AP Style Guide, a pro-life person, you say an anti-choice or anti-abortion person. That's a clear left-wing slant to that issue, and it's in the AP Style Guide. But this one is way beyond that. Now, you guys may remember the coverage of the southern border when Donald Trump was in office. It was not kind. It was not flattering. And the word crisis was bandied about left and right all the time. As a matter of fact, in this story, they link to an Associated Press tweet from January 25th, 2019. And it says, a searing photo of a man and his 23-month-old daughter who drowned in the Rio Grande underscores the perils of the migration crisis on the U.S. border. There's that word again, crisis. Well, now that there is a humanitarian crisis on the southern border, the AP Style Guide has come out with a memo reminding journalists that what's happening on the southern border with children being stuffed into cages meant for 70 at a rate of 700 in a little tiny space that's supposed to hold 70, that's not a crisis by the standard definition of the word crisis. So the AP Style Guide is recommending that journalists use the word challenge at the border instead. Like they're going to be eating hot dogs as fast as they can to get over the border. Like they're going to challenge someone to a rap battle at the border so they can come across the border. It's not a crisis. It's a challenge. This kind of stuff makes me insane because they're not even hiding it anymore. They're not even pretending. They're just rushing to give cover to the Biden administration. There is no fourth estate. There is no unbiased media. It's all garbage. Everyone should just embrace it. And be open. AP should say, we're going to couch language so it doesn't make President Biden look as bad as the same language made President Trump look. That's what they should say. You know, hey, our guy's in office now, so instead of calling a crisis, let's just call it a challenge. But only while he's in office, because if a Republican takes over in a few years, we're going to revert back to calling it a crisis if we need to. I mean, it's garbage. It's infuriating. Makes me nuts.
It's not style. This is content.
Yes.
And that crosses the line. Style is, you can use this term or that term because you have a choice. But this is either accurate or inaccurate.
Right. Yeah. Well, according to the definition that this guy from AP Style Guide found, this doesn't meet the standard of crisis, Dave, because a crisis, it's when bad things happen. And this isn't
for an extended period of time. Yeah, it's not bad for a long time.
No, we're going to put bad in air quotes on this one, okay? It's not great. It's not ideal, but it's certainly not bad. I mean, it's not like crisis bad. This is what he said in this memo. Crisis. The current event in the news, a sharp increase in the arrival of unaccompanied minors, is a problem for border officials, a political challenge for Biden, and a dire situation for many migrants who make the journey, but it does not fit the classic definition of a crisis, which is a turning point in the course of anything, decisive or crucial times, state or event, or a time of or a state of affairs involving great danger or trouble, often one that threatens to result in unpleasant consequences. How is what we're seeing not a crisis?
It sure fits the definition that they just gave.
I thought so too, Dave. But we're the dumb coughs here. You know, we're the idiots here. Not these geniuses at the Style Guide. Therefore, we should avoid, or at least be highly cautious about referring to the present situation as a crisis on our own, although we may quote others using that language. Oh, how generous of them.
And
how
AP,
generous.
AP Style Guide, when does it turn from a problem into a crisis? How? At what
when
date?
A Republican what? Gets elected, David.
Ah,
don't be stupid.
You mean it doesn't matter about what the situation
no!
there is?
No!
Oh,
no!
That's
it just matters
I
who's
see.
In office. Come on.
Silly me.
Don't act so dumb, Dave.
I'm sorry.
So obvious. It's not yep. even hard, those questions you're asking me. Okay, I want to throw one more language thing in here right now before we hit the top of the hour and I talk to my friend Karen about gun training. The Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals on Friday ruled in favor of a devout Christian professor who, by the way, teaches religious studies at Shawnee State University in Ohio. The situation was that the Professor Merriweather, I've always loved the name Merriweather. It seems very British and official. Professor Merriweather believes that God's created human beings as either male or female, that this is sex is fixed in each person from the moment of conception, and that it cannot be changed regardless of an individual's feelings or desires. So Shawnee State did not appreciate this and told professors that, hey, look, if you have someone, you have to use their preferred pronouns and call them by the right name. Fast forward, January 2018, a person walked up to him and demanded that Professor Merriweather refer to Jane Doe as a woman and use feminine titles and pronouns. This was the first time the professor learned that Doe identified as a woman, so Merriweather paused before responding because his sincerely held religious beliefs prevented him from communicating messages about gender identity that he believes are false. The student complained. The school came up with a compromise. In his class, he would simply refer to that student by that student's last name, right? Not use any pronouns, just refer to him as Smith or whatever, Doe. We'll just say, we'll refer to him as Doe. Seems like a reasonable accommodation. The student was still not happy because you already knew where this story was going to go. Went back to the university. The university trampled all over Professor Merriweather's religious rights. So he sued. And he's won now in the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. And the ruling is worth reading. I went and clicked through and read the actual ruling. You guys, I've said this on the show before, Dave, that people who want to use, you know, like gay rights or transgender rights, and they want to sue a person of faith like Jack Phillips, religious liberty and tolerance is in the Constitution. Tolerance for pronouns is not even mentioned. So you are going to lose on the face of the law. And they did. And he won. And it's going to be very interesting to see how this all shakes out because many, many, many universities have told professors that they are required to use whatever the pronouns that the students want used. And now this simply says they can't do that. Just like a university could not tell a professor that they could not call a student by chosen pronouns. If you're a professor and you want everybody's pronouns and you want to make sure you're getting it right, they can't tell you you can't do that. Because they're infringing on your First Amendment rights as a professor. But the flip side of that also holds true. They can't force you to say things. It's very totalitarian, some of this stuff. I mean, if you can force someone to make a cake for you, I don't know where the limits are after that. I really don't. And I firmly believe, especially with the makeup of the Supreme Court right now, any challenge between any other person and a religious person is not going to hold. It's not going to hold. It's going to be ugly and it's going to end badly for all you people that are out there trying to do this.
You know, we haven't heard lately about an issue that came up before the election, packing the Supreme Court. That's kind of gone off the table. If many of these decisions start to come down from the Supremes, I think we'll hear that again.
Maybe, but this wasn't a Supreme Court decision. This was a Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. I don't know if the school, because of the way that this particular ruling was written, you know, some rulings, some rulings you can read. And if you've never read a judicial ruling, it's very interesting. You have to get through all the gobbledygook at the first where they reference all of the other cases that they talk about. But when you get to the actual writing by the judge who's writing the opinion, a lot of times a good attorney on the other side can look at that opinion and find wiggle room. Okay, here's our wiggle room. Here's where we can go after this on appeal. I am telling you right now, this thing is buttoned up tight. I mean, it is. And they referenced the Jack Phillips masterpiece cake decision as well. So it's interesting because the Shawnee State University also showed great hostility to this professor's religion. It wasn't just about, you know, we have this problem. They would not even consider that he had a reasonable argument based on his religion. They just refused. They were very dismissive. And that's what happened in the Masterpiece Cakes decision as well.
You know, in a decision like that, I'm glad that it came out on the right side, but I'd like to see some consequences for the other side. You know, they do this stuff. They ruin people's lives. They make them spend a lot of money, and there are no consequences for them. I'd like to see them pay his court costs.
I would love to see that as well, but I don't know if that happens. I'm just not sure about that. I know that getting court costs
but that would
is
give
really
people,
hard.
That would give universities pause in instituting these draconian measures. If
well,
they
what's
knew
interesting,
there was some consequence if they're wrong.
To that point, Dave, we talked, and I don't know if it was the week you were off, but there's a case that the Supreme Court decided that would really temper, especially universities' abilities to do what people call attack and retreat. Attack and retreat. Okay, we're going to put this limit on your First Amendment rights, and then when you sue, we're going to end it, and then we're going to go, look, it's a moot lawsuit. We don't have to defend it because we changed the policy. The Supreme Court actually just said, no, no, no. You can't just say it doesn't matter now. We're going to let these cases proceed. That is a huge game changer in terms of universities are going to have to really think about what they're doing and the long-term ramifications if they get sued before they do these little incremental, you know, attacks on liberty or whatever else they're attacking.
I'd love to see the school appeal it to the Supreme so we could get a precedent from the Supremes.
If they did, they would be insane.
I know.
You read this decision, Dave, and you just know there's no wiggle room whatsoever in this decision. It's so buttoned up. So, I mean, maybe I'm not a legal scholar. I shouldn't say it like that. But, you know, as like a junior legal scholar who reads decisions with a semi-regularity, not every day. But I would say it's a really tightly wound decision that would be hard to pick apart. And not to mention, the school made some arguments that were just specious and really, really bad. And this judge ripped them to shreds. I mean, didn't just say that's a bad argument. It was like basically like, shame on you, you idiot, for even bringing this to my court kind of thing.
We need more judges like that.
Well, he didn't say it quite like that. It was nicer. It was like legal speak or whatever. But it basically was like, yeah, that's dumb.
But
that's not
happening.
The point
is the same.
Yeah. Yeah. So in any case, please check that out. I think it's very, very interesting. But again, when we're talking about pronouns, the right to have someone call you the right pronoun versus religious freedom, that's that pronoun's going to lose every single time. Every single time. I'm ready for the pronoun thing to be over because I hate having to explain to people that I don't care about their pronouns and I can barely remember their name as it is.
Exactly.
Is that so wrong? It's like, yeah, I'm not going to remember your name. Why am I going to remember your pronouns? I don't care.
I don't even know what half of these pronouns are or mean, let alone if someone wants me to use it to describe them. I need a glossary for all these stupid pronouns.
No, you just need to say what I do. I'm sorry. I'm not going to remember your name. Therefore, I'm not going to remember your pronouns. So we can end this conversation now about your pronouns. When we get back, you know, a lot of people, especially after last Monday, have been thinking about ways to make their family and themselves more secure. Perhaps you've been thinking about a concealed carry class. And I've got an NRA instructor coming up next, Karen Murray. She is the best, and she has multiple, I should say, she has tons of classes coming up at Franktown Firearms, but she is wonderful for women. So if you've been thinking about getting your concealed carry permit, this is the class for you, ladies. And so we're going to talk to Karen about that next. But right now, we're going to talk to Susan Witkin and find out what's coming up in her news.
The Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA News Radio, the voice of Colorado.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the third hour of the show. We are working our way through a Monday, and I'm pleased as punch to have my friend Karen Murray back on the show. It's been a while.
It has been a while.
And oddly, we scheduled this before last Monday's shootings. And I will tell you that I've had more conversations with people in the last week that have said, you know what? That's it. That's my tipping point. You're talking about my grocery store. I'm going to learn how to carry, or what they say is I'm going to start carrying my firearm, to which I always respond, do you have the right training? Do you understand the responsibility that comes with this? Because I understand the desire to protect yourself, but you have to be able to do it responsibly. And that's what Karen does. She is an NRA instructor. She works out of Franktown Firearms. And Karen, let's talk about training for just overall, just kind of a big picture. Why do you think training is so important?
I think the glaring obvious reason is safety. You can have a firearm all day long and you can have it in your desk drawer or you can have it in your car or whatever. But when that critical moment comes, if God forbid you ever had to, use that firearm to defend yourself, you combine the firearm and its inherent danger anyway,
right.
I mean, let's be real here. These are deadly weapons, right? So you have to know the proper way to manipulate and handle these things, or you're going to end up hurting yourself. And if you're not confident enough, then you're going to end up having someone else, grab that thing away from you because you're not confident enough to use it, and they're going to use it on you. So it takes a lot of, it's a mindset, it's a lifestyle change. And I can't say enough things about getting the proper training.
Karen, one of the things that I always tell people is that for me anyway, my first concealed carry class, I've now gone through it three times in three different states. My first concealed carry class was the first time that I had ever really considered some big questions like, what happens if someone is threatening me and my family? Do I personally have the wherewithal to pull the trigger and kill someone? And, in a situation is not the time to have that moral discussion with yourself. And it's okay to say no, by the way, but you don't need to carry a gun if the answer is no. Because to your point, that's when it gets taken away and someone takes it. And I see people all the time, especially on Twitter. I just bought my first gun. I'm so excited. And I always tweet back, congratulations. Welcome to gun ownership. Now get training so you're a good gun owner and not just a gun owner. Anybody can own a gun, but not everybody's going to be a good gun owner. What are some of the things that you specifically kind of see people maybe have an aha moment when you're talking about the mental part of it? Because a lot of the class is the mental part. It's about when you pull your gun, why you pull your gun, what happens when you pull your gun. It's not just about going to the range and firing.
No, not even. And what's kind of funny is I often teach, there's a distance kind of thing that I use in my tactical pistol class, which is kind of, it's a little more advanced. It's not hugely advanced, but it's all out of holster. And I always teach that the closer that the threat gets to you, the less options you have.
Yeah.
So if somebody's closing in on you, you have to think about that draw and you have to think about your aim and whether or not you're going to be able to establish a good solid two-handed grip. So that answer is probably not. And so you've got these things that are going through your mind, all that have to happen in a split second.
When you're under attack.
Exactly.
that's
adrenaline
the thing.
Is not your friend.
No.
When it comes to this stuff. And so I've never been there, but I've mentally put myself there many times. And so when I teach my basic class, of course, that's your first step. And I teach that good grip and the good stance and the whole thing. But if somebody's coming at you, closing in on a 20-foot gap between you and him, and he's coming at you with a knife, you're not going to be able to handle that and adopt that good two-handed stance and create the distance that you need to create to be safe and the whole thing. And so I kind of try to roll through all those things in my tactical class. The ladies class that's coming up here in the weekend, I won't be covering any of that, but the tactical class is that's where we kind of get into mindset and situational awareness and understanding that when that threat closes in, that your options are, you don't have as many options and, you know, you're going to have to probably shoot one-handed or, right, you know, that kind of stuff.
Let me ask you a question, because I had an interesting call from a gentleman after what happened in Boulder, and he said, you know, I thought about getting, and I'm paraphrasing, I thought about getting a concealed carry permit, but then I would not, I would just want to protect my family. And I said, that's okay, because really, if you can get away and you can safely get your family away, that's the first thing they teach you in a concealed carry permit. This is, yep, your last resort for personal and, yep, family protection. This is the last option. You're not walking around like some freaking superhero looking for trouble. That's not what this is about at all. And that's been a big frustration for me, because I've had people say things like, you know, cops miss their target like 40 times out of 100 and they're trained. What are you really going to do? And I'm like, I'm going to do enough. If someone's 10 feet from me, I'm going to stop them. That's all I need to do. I don't need to do anything else. I'm not riding on horseback chasing down people. You know, it's like, it's just about protecting yourself. That's what the whole thing is about. Now, you mentioned the ladies concealed carry class, and I always sing your praises. I send every woman I know to you, because I think you're and don't get me wrong, men are perfectly capable of teaching amazing concealed carry classes, but it's a different dynamic. How is the dynamic different when you do a ladies only class versus a mixed class or a class that happens to have only men?
Well, first of all, you get chocolate.
Oh, there you go. Yes, chocolate is always good.
Second of all, the male influence, there's nothing wrong with it. And if you have a man who's patient and understanding, it's a little bit easier to get through, but not all men are like that. Not all boyfriends are fantastic teachers, as not all husbands or dads or grandpas or uncles are fantastic teachers. I teach in a specific way, and I teach to the least experienced person in the room, you know, and I'm willing to answer the questions and make sure that everything is right as they're standing on the firing line and they're nervous and they're shaking and that whole thing. And I'm able to kind of calm them down a little bit and show some kind of some compassion, because I've been there. You know, it's very intimidating to have some guy that's, you know, standing there in a pair of, you know, tactical pants with his combat boots and his AR-15 strapped on his back or whatever it is. That's very intimidating for your average female. And so I just feel that because I'm knowledgeable enough to give them the good solid foundation that they need to take a firearm and, you know, be confident enough to go to the range and practice with it on their own, you know, and kind of go with their husbands then. And I always tell my females, and I don't mean anything negative about any man in the audience, but when we go up to the range and I get my females, you know, good and trained, I always say you might be able to go home and teach your husband something.
There you go. Now, to be clear, we just looked and your class for this weekend is full, but you just added another one for May, right?
I'm adding one. Yes. As I can't see my whole screen because my light stand is in the middle here, so I can't see it all. But yes, as soon as I get off this call, I'm going to go in and add one for May 29th. That will be the next ladies only class.
So let me ask you, what other kinds of classes are there? Because there's, I think that there are kind of maybe four or five different kinds of gun owners. There are people that love it, passionate about it, shoot all the time. They're well-trained. They don't need any help from anybody. Then there are people that own weapons. Maybe they go train a little bit. They, you know, they shoot with their friends every once in a while, more of a hobbyist, but still know what they're doing. And then there are people who own a firearm, maybe have gone to the range once. Maybe they took a class and they have never picked it up again. And then there are the people that literally bought a gun and have never picked it up. Those are the ones that concern me the most. Those two bottom categories are the ones that I'm always like, please, for you, for your family, for everybody around you, you've got to have some training. So you guys have classes that kind of hit all those spaces, though.
They do. And what's kind of cool is that our basic we call it the basic CCW class. So that's the one that you go in, and if you've never held a firearm before, you've never touched one, that's the class that you want. So I know that sounds strange. So I've never held a gun before, but I'm going to go in and take this class and get certified to go get my concealed carry permit. And that's exactly right. So what I've done, because I'm an NRA instructor, I've kind of formulated this class where I don't teach the total NRA curriculum. I've taken some parts out, but I've added a lot of really valuable information. So I always say that when you take this class and you finish this class, yes, you're going to be certified to carry concealed, but are you ready to, you know, strap a gun on your hip and walk around like Jack Bauer? No, you're not. However, we do offer the tactical pistol class after that, that will make you completely comfortable carrying a loaded firearm on body. So that's kind of the big deal right there. But I can say that the basic CCW class will give you the solid foundation that you need. You will learn all your gun's parts, how it operates. You'll learn how to hold it properly, how to aim properly with using both eyes. And I kind of dive into a little bit about, you know, different holster options just to get your feet wet a little bit when it comes to concealing.
And I will tell you, if you say, Karen, which concealed purse should I buy? What will Karen say? She will say, do not bring that carry concealed purse around me. You are anti-purse carrying. But for Val, you actually turned me off that completely. Like, I don't do that. Because of you.
Well, you know, the thing that I tell people is that if you're adamant about it and you don't want to look, you know, 5 pounds heavier, you don't wear belts, you don't whatever, I usually say get over it, because, you know, this is not just a lifestyle change. It's also a wardrobe change.
Right.
If you've never worn belts before, get over it, buy a belt. But what I'll say about the purse is that unless it's under your direct control at all times, meaning at the grocery store, it's not in the cart, it's over your shoulder. At the restaurant, it's not on the seat next to you, it's over your shoulder. You are wearing it nonstop, period. Like, it has got to be under
a part
your
of your body. Right.
And to try to figure out how to draw that firearm in a critical moment in a life or death situation, just forget it.
Well, I actually carry a revolver because I was like, you know what? I can shoot this through my purse. It will
you
not jam.
Yes. Yeah.
And that was always my plan. I was like, I would probably never draw my weapon. I would draw the scariest purse in the history of purses. I mean, people would be like, oh my God, her purse shot me. But you, I mean, that's, you don't necessarily think about that. You don't necessarily think about that as something, especially for women, that, you know, that you, and then I always think there was a story not too long ago of a woman whose 3-year-old in a grocery store pulled out her firearm and accidentally shot her. And she was okay, but holy mackerel. Although, can you imagine at Thanksgiving forever? Yeah, remember when you shot me in the grocery store? Mm-hmm. And of course, my response would be, remember when you let me get your gun? what are some of the other classes that you have that aren't so basic?
The second class after the basic CCW class that I teach is, that I've mentioned a couple times, is called tactical pistol. And although it's not a, you know, really advanced tactical class, it does kind of get you the information that you need about, and it kind of gets your mind in a different place. So we talk a lot about mindset. We talk a lot about situational awareness. We talk a lot about, we do some like shoot, don't shoot scenarios.
Yeah.
We run through some different things, you know, with regard to like standing in a convenience store and, you know, some guy, crazy guy walks in and, you know, should you or should you not? Can you legally, can you not? That kind of thing. And then all the shooting portion of it is done out of holster. So you learn that proper holster draw, whether you carry appendix, which is in the front, you know, and like pointed straight down in down the front or on the side or whatever. So you learn the different draws and how they look. And, you know, to be honest, none of it is going to be ideal. There's never going to be a violent encounter that you come across or that you feel like you need to use your firearm. Is it going to be a perfect draw
right.
and a perfect everything? No, it's not. But it gets your mind in that place that you may, you know, may have to kind of change the way you're thinking.
Yeah. Well, and that's goes back to the mental part of this whole thing. And
right.
and I cannot reiterate enough, you have to have those conversations with yourself. Are you capable? Will you draw your weapon? Like, I'm very open. If I was in a mall and something started to happen, I would not be the person to draw a weapon because I would be too afraid of hitting anyone else in that scenario. I would beat a retreat. And if I had to, and somebody's 10 feet in front of my face, well, then that's a different story. But that's not a situation where I personally would feel comfortable. And that's
run
a
fight.
That's a conversation that I've had with myself because of the training classes that I've had, which is why, again, if you've bought a firearm, maybe you're rusty, maybe you haven't picked the thing up in forever. Go to, I put a link today to Franktown Firearms Facebook page. Franktown, obviously down in Franktown. They have a ton of classes that you can sign up for. Karen is going to add another ladies only class because that one's full. Although I did put on the blog that you said sometimes people cancel so you can call the day of.
Yep.
How much does the class cost, by the way?
For the basic CCW class is $120. The tactical pistol class is $150. And the tactical class is only for experienced shooters.
Okay.
Excuse me. So if you've been shooting for years and years and you know, the muzzle from the back strap, from the trigger, from the, you know, the ejection port, then, you know, whatever, I don't have to teach you all those basics. So if you've already been shooting a whole bunch and you want to go into the tactical class, it's open to the public. It's $150. If you have taken basic CCW from us, the course fee is reduced by $30. So you can get that one also for $120, both of which are our certification classes. So if you come in off the street, never seen us before, and you take the tactical pistol class, you can still get certified to get your CCW.
Okay, perfect. The other one I was going to ask, and it just went out of my head, CCW class, how much that costs. I have no idea what the other thing was. So just always up your, the other thing is somebody asked me, do you have to have your own firearm for the CCW class? Maybe
not for the basic ones.
Okay.
Basic concealed carry, you don't have to have your firearm. You can use one of our rental guns at no charge, but you do have to provide your own ammunition.
And you can buy that at the store, right?
Right. Okay. And you can buy that at our store for sure.
One thing I would say is especially for women, if you don't know anything about guns, please don't go into a gun store and buy a carry weapon without going to a place like Franktown Firearms where you can rent different calibers, you can rent different firearms, because I thought I knew what I wanted and I went into my favorite gun store in Louisville and they said, you're really going to be unhappy with this gun. And I bought it anyway. And then I was unhappy with it, but luckily they let me swap it out for one that I like better. But don't make a blind choice. Because it's an important choice. Some firearms you'll find out you cannot shoot well. And that's just the way it is. So maybe you take the class, you go to Franktown Firearms. They can also help you, I'm sure, buy a firearm.
Oh, absolutely.
If that's what you want to do.
Our sales guys are top notch.
Yeah.
None better.
Well, Karen Murray, I appreciate you very much. I appreciate you coming on the show today and doing some training and all kinds of stuff. And check out more on our website. You can link to Franktown Firearms webpage and find out more about all of their classes. Good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you, Mandy. Thanks for having me.
I'll talk to you soon. That's Karen Murray. Sign up for her classes because they're all amazing. I'm just letting you know. And I will tell you that she was really kind. If you are scared of firearms, she's the person you want to go to help you get over it. Trust me on this. Just trust me on this. We're going to check in with Susan Witkin. She's the one that'll help you get over your fear of the news. That song, it's a good song, like it a lot. So this guy's been tweeting at me and it's kind of entertaining. He's tweeting at me because he's mad, and I'm assuming it's a he. If it's a woman, sorry about that. I just usually don't expect this from women. You know, just being honest. So he's like, so if someone asks you to use their pronouns and you don't, is that the Christian thing to do? I don't think this was addressed, but if someone's a super pain in the ass, I don't think I should have to change my life to accommodate them. I'm sorry. I just don't. And I'll stand by it 1,000 times. I'm not going to remember your name when we walk away from the conversation because I have a mental disorder that prevents that. And there's even less of a chance that I'm going to remember your pronouns. So can we end the charade? I'm going to go with English language as it's been known since the beginning of time. Now, if I meet someone and they are transgender, I will refer to them with the proper pronouns. But if you want me to call you they and them, I'm not going to do that because that doesn't make sense and it hurts my grammar Nazi ears. It hurts me. I read an article. Did I? I think I talked about this on the air. Did I tell you about the article I read about the actress who wants to be referred to as they and them? This article was a grammatical nightmare. I couldn't tell if they were talking about the actor. I couldn't tell if they were talking about people talking about the actor. It made no sense. So, yeah. I love it when people are like, what you're doing, is that the Christian thing to do? I'm like, well, you know what? If that keeps me out of heaven, so be it.
I get a pass on that one.
Yeah. By the way, none of my stem cells come from the blood of aborted fetuses. None of them. That's very important to me. One of the reasons I chose Downtown's healthcare is that they don't use any of those. Anyway, go ahead, Dave.
No, I just said I get a pass on that. No one expects me to do the Christian thing.
Yes, exactly. Yes, indeedy. I will see you guys tonight in the masterclass for travel or vacation pursuit. I signed up for that as well. And then I have one more story that I want to dip my toe into before we go. If you, first of all, if you've not read the Politico story on Hunter Biden, you guys, Hunter Biden is just an absolute train wreck. If his last name was Trump, we would have back-to-back nonstop coverage on everything this guy has done because, man, he is an absolute disaster as a human being.
He committed an objective felony by misrepresenting himself on the form when he got his weapon.
And the issue
he
is...
said, yeah. No drugs. No now, drug history.
Yeah. Is this... Okay, so after he divorced his first wife, after spending all of their money on hookers and adult webcam sites and drugs. So that was what his wife alleged in the divorce. Then he started dating his brother Beau's widow immediately, like a hot minute after Beau died. He started dating her and she found the gun and threw it into a garbage can behind a grocery store. And for some reason, the Secret Service showed up at the gun store where he bought the gun and asked the owner for his paperwork. Where he lied on the paperwork saying he was not addicted to drugs, which we now know he's pretty much off and on been an addict his entire adult life. And I'm not knocking him. I think addiction is horrible. I understand people relapse. I get it. But that's the fact of the matter. And he lied on a federal firearms background check to get a firearm. We should close that loophole, Dave. We should close the Hunter loophole. And I mean Hunter Biden there. Could you imagine?
You have to have the media and the Secret Service cooperating in order to close that one.
Well, here's the interesting part. The Secret Service says, oh, we don't have any record of that. We don't have any record of getting involved in it. Well, why would this gun store owner lie? By the way, he was so disturbed by it, he called Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and alerted them about this. And it's like, obviously there's some kind of paper trail there. It's a very strange story. I mean, a very strange story. But the story that I really wanted to get to very, very quickly is, let me see here. Oh, the immersive Van Gogh exhibit. That's what it was. I'm like, I know there was something I wanted to talk about at the end of the show. If
that
you have not,
so cool.
I sent it to Dave over the weekend and I was like, look, of course I bought my tickets before I sent it to Dave. Like, I'm going to get my tickets first. They take Van Gogh paintings, which are beautiful impressionist paintings, just absolutely gorgeous. And they project them into a giant room with lighting. And it's just, I have a friend who already saw it and said, I thought it was going to be really cool and I was excited. It far exceeded my expectations.
Wow.
So she really enjoyed it. And she wore a white dress so as to be a part of the Van Gogh exhibit. So she has all these pictures with her with Starry, Starry Night across. Like, it's really, really cool. It's super nerdy. Here's the kicker. The tickets are almost gone, but they don't even know where they're going to stage it yet. It's been in
That's
multiple
right.
markets. Yeah, it's been in multiple big cities. I'm guessing, you know, it seems like the convention center is going to be the only space
big
enough.
Need a big space. Yeah.
Yeah. It's huge. So we'll see where it ends up, but the tickets are already almost sold out, which is crazy.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they go through December. And
yeah.
And depending on which kind of ticket you want, all of the tickets for October gone. About it.
Yeah.
November, you have to go deep into November. And that was this morning. I don't.
And in the middle
I
of the
was
week.
As I was getting tickets, one of the ones I wanted disappeared before I got it.
No.
That's how quickly these things are going.
Yeah. So it's, I also think that there is definitely pent up demand for things like this. We've all, you know, we here in Denver, we like to go to concerts. We like to go and do things. We support the arts. So we've definitely have a lot of pent up demand. What I think is going to be really interesting is to see if the Denver Art Museum, which just unveiled a big impressionist permanent display, if they're going to figure out a way to sort of, I would capitalize on this. I mean, I would try to piggyback off on this.
Well, I think they have a Van Gogh in their collection.
They do, but it's not any, it's not one of the primo.
It's not one of the big ones. No.
Yeah, it's not. It's okay though.
So I assume this Van Gogh thing, you'll see basically his whole output on the walls.
I asked my friend how many paintings were represented. She didn't know anything about Vincent Van Gogh, except he cut his ear off and gave it to a hooker. That was the extent of her Van Gogh knowledge. And she said not that many. It was not even remotely, it was not that many different works that were represented. So really just kind of hit the high points of what people have already seen. They were just seeing it in a different style, and you're immersed and you're part of the art. And it just looks really, really cool. So I wanted to bring that to your attention. So if you wanted tickets, you could go ahead and
you probably
and
don't
buy
have
them.
That much time to get them.
Well, I'm about to click through right now. Vamp for me for a second, Dave, because you're so good at it. Why don't you tell people about Grant's blog?
I would tell people about Grant's blog, and I would be asking Grant if he was here to tell us about his latest blog. But
or his podcast. We keep saying blog. It's podcast. Yes, podcast.
Podcast, right.
Yes.
He's got this wonderful series going.
Yes.
And he's had several weeks of it now, and each one seems to be getting better than the last one.
Correct.
And they come out on Wednesdays, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So the first week, you know what? They're opening up more tickets right now, Dave.
Are they?
Oh, they just unloaded a whole bunch of new ticket sales. Yes. Yes. Now there's good availability all the way through December, but they have opened up it all. They just dumped a bunch of new tickets. You know, let me explain what happens with these things. They were testing the market. And I signed up to get tickets. One of the first ad I saw, I was like, I'm going to that. So they're testing the market. Now they're probably going to buy a bigger venue.
Could be.
You know?
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're all the weekends are limited availability right now. So if you want to go on a weekend, then you're probably going to want to grab your tickets now. But that's good. That's good.
Yeah, this
More
is something
people
unique you won't see every day.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what this stuff should be.
Yep.
You know, I think that would be very, very cool. I'm looking forward
and
to it.
And we've been
anyway.
Crying for something like this over the last year. Something that we can attend that's new and different. And we're there with other people.
Dave, I saw Grant and his friends went to a bar that had a band. And he posted some of it on wow. Instagram, and I felt envy. I rarely feel the emotion of envy because I'm very satisfied with my life. I don't feel envious. I felt envy, and I thought, gosh, I haven't been to a bar to see a band in years, but I'm dying to go now. Dying to go now. Anyway, Shannon, now's the time when I do this thing. Wait, hang on. I'll give you the. And now it's time for the most exciting segment on the radio of its kind in the world of the day. Well done. Well done. What is our word? Do we have BK today? Is BK here? Nope, no BK.
No
what
BK.
Is our word of the day, please, Dave? So it's me and
hey,
you. Shannon, you want to play? No. Shannon's like, no.
Boy, no hesitation there.
Boy,
absolutely
no.
Not.
That was an unequivocal, so I'm playing against myself. What's the word of the day?
Okay, word of the day is monoculture, a noun.
Okay.
M-O-N-O, culture.
Monoculture is...
from the French.
Monoculture? I mean, one culture. Monoculture means a homogenous group of people that live together. They're all the same. Monoculture.
That's what you would think. But
yeah.
That's wrong.
Totally wrong.
It's actually the practice of growing a single crop at a time.
Oh, mono. Oh, gosh, I actually knew that.
Did you?
Dang it. It was monoculture. It's a farming word. I knew that,
too. A single crop grown in an area.
Shannon, you might know today's trivia question before you back down, mister. Because I feel like this is a question you would know. Today's trivia question, who wrote Johnny Cash's song, A Boy Named Sue?
And I know more about Ring of Fire than Sue. Sorry.
Well, I saw a documentary about this person, and I know he wrote this song, and it's a he. And he's very famous for his poetry that doesn't necessarily fit into the normal poetry categories.
Huh.
No, Shel Silverstein. The author of classic books such as Where the Sidewalk Ends and Falling Up. Yeah. Before Cash became famous, the song was originally included on Silverstein's 1969 album, Boy Named Sue and His Other Country Songs.
Never knew that.
Yep. Okay. What is our Jeopardy category?
I'll give you a choice. Okay. We can do either What's Your Beef, B-E-E-F, or Inventors and Inventions.
Ooh, What's Your Beef? What do you think, BK? He's like, I don't
okay.
care.
What's your beef?
Oh, you're not feeling good? Yeah.
Which one did you get?
All right. Okay. That just means you have a good immune system, BK. Seriously.
That's right.
Yeah, that's all it means. Yeah. What's the beef? There we go. What is this?
Okay, here we go. Beef chili is also called chili con this.
Mandy?
Spanish. Mandy.
What is chili con carne?
Correct. Joy of Cooking gives a recipe for this beef dish, but cautions that eating raw meat can be hazardous
Mandy.
To your health.
What yes. is steak or beef tartare?
You are absolutely correct. Corned beef is cured in brine. This other deli, Brandon.
Go ahead and read. Oh, what is
you
it?
You got it.
What is
you
it?
You got it. What is pastrami?
Is it a dry rub?
It says it's other deli meat is seasoned brisket that's been cured, smoked, and cooked.
Yeah, that's pastrami.
And that's
delicious.
Pastrami. Next one. Part of the name of this expensive boneless cut means dainty in
Mandy,
French.
What is Mandy. Filet mignon?
You are correct. And finally, it's the French name for beef braised in red wine, usually
Mandy,
garnished. Yes.
What is beef bourguignon? I can't ever say this. Bourguignon? You know what I'm trying to say. Beef bourguignon?
You got it.
Okay. It's a hard word to say. I don't think you could ever beat me in a food category, BK, and now you're under the weather. I feel like that was like a little bit like beating up my brother's little friend, you know? You know what? I like your attitude, BK. I like it. Feel better, okay? Because we're going to ask you tomorrow how you're feeling. All right? All right, man. That's
all right,
BK. We're going to make room. We got Big Alan JoJo coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow. We got the mayor tomorrow. We're talking.
Yes,
We're talking about the STAR program. I'm very interested to hear about this, how it's been deployed, how it's going to be expanded, how effective it's been, and fencing around the Capitol. We're going to talk about both those things with the mayor. But right now, Big Alan JoJo, we're taking over on KOA News Radio.